Blog Talk Radio.
Silo Wealth Advisory is the Mindful Money Company. Our investments screen over 5,000 companies across the globe for their environmental impact. We think it's important to consider how your investments can benefit you and society without sacrificing returns. Visit us at silowealthadvisory.com and check out our free 60-second retirement solution. For all your investment questions, call Jeff Bogart at 855-757-7452 or email Jeff at jeff@silowealthadvisory.com. Now, here's Jeff with the Mindful Revolution.
Namaste, everybody. I'm Jeff Bogart. I'd like to welcome you to the Mindful Revolution, where we interview some of the world's foremost thinkers in mindfulness. We'd love to hear from you during the show, so give us a call. The number is 646-478-4157. Again, 646-478-4157. You can email me a question for our guest at jeff@silawealthadvisory.com. That's Sila, S-I-L-A, wealthadvisory.com. Or if you're my Facebook buddy or even LinkedIn, you can ask a question there as well. Real quick, I want to remind you that all our shows are podcasts. They're all recorded. So if you felt that you missed one that you really like to hear, we've had some great ones recently. I've been on vacation. We've had some really famous people on the show, Jill Miller, to name a few. They're all available on Blog Talk Radio. So just search out The Mindful Revolution, search who you'd like to listen to, and download. That's all it takes, folks. So today, let's start getting your life back with Paula Rizzo. Paula's an Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist and a senior health producer for the Fox News Channel. What's more, she's the founder of ListProducer.com. Paula attributes much of her success to her compulsive list-making. Her and my wife will probably love one another. But if you're trying to save time, get more organized, be more productive, save money, and reduce stress, then don't miss this full hour with Paula. Her new book is Listful Thinking, or Using Lists to Be More Productive, Highly Successful, and Less Stressed. And she shares the tools and techniques that have made her successful at work and applies them to the art of list making. Paula believes that making lists is the easiest way to start an organized, productive, and efficient life. Moreover, she'll tell us how making lists can make us healthier. Sounds good to me. So let's listen now and let's say namaste to Paula.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, Paula, you're in New York City. Let's talk a little bit about, did you tell me you grew up in New York City in the pre-interview?
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn, and I grew up on Long Island, about an hour outside the city, and now I'm back in Manhattan.
All right. And what was your life growing up? Were you a list maker growing up? Were you an active kid? What was going on when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, my dad is a huge list maker, so I think that's where I get it from. And I just remember as a kid, you know, him writing all of these lists, especially when we would go on vacation, you know, just having like this go-to list of things that needed to be done in the house before we left, you know, shut this off and do that and all of this, you know, his punch list. But
right.
For me, I didn't really start making lists in the way that I do now until I started my career, but I was big on pros and cons lists for stuff, you know, growing up. And that was sort of, you know, one of my go-to lists. But there's so many different lists that you can make. It's not just about the to-do list. So the to-do list, though, didn't come into my life until my career started.
What about in college? Were you a list maker in college?
You know, it's funny. I was super organized, and I think I was more so, like, I remember having a calendar and, like, sticking in all of the you know, deadlines and things in that way. But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't really – so into my to-do list until I was in my career.
So for the people born after 1990, we didn't have Google Calendar back in the day.
Oh, yeah, no. No Google Calendar for me either.
We had old-fashioned calendars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we just kind of
wrote
stuff on our calendars, right, or our boards, not in our phones and all that. That's
No apps, no.
No, what was that?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think just writing things down, you know, it just sinks it into your mind in a different way than putting it into an app. So
sure.
I use both now, but there's still something about writing it down.
We had address books and all that.
Right.
It's a whole different world. It's the same, really. We had less bombarding us, too, I think. Did you study journalism in school?
I did, yeah. I majored in broadcast journalism. I went to Hofstra University, which is on Long Island, and I majored in broadcast journalism, and I minored in political science, actually.
And then what was your career path like before you got to Fox News? You knew what you kind of wanted to do as a young person, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I sort of have always been that type of, since I was young, I always wanted to be a reporter or work in television. I had actually had a good friend of mine when I was young who, her dad was a cameraman for ABC. And so he took us into the city one day and you know, brought us to the studio, and we got to see ABC News and Peter Jennings' office. And, you know, it was awesome. And so, you know, things stick with you. And that just stuck in my head. And I was like, this is where I want to be. When I walked into the control room, I was like, this is amazing. And so it stuck with me. And would you believe now he works at Fox News, and we work together now. He's a cameraman at Fox News. Is that not great?
That's great.
It really, yeah. So it kind of came full circle. So when I run into him,
my 14-year-old niece wants to be a reporter. She prefers reading, you know, print newspapers. She loves newspapers. Ever, always has.
Wow, that's it. I thought that I would do print as well. And when I first started, I was a print major. But then I don't know. They make you take a television course. And as soon as I took it, I was like, oh, wait, like reminded of that time when I went to, you know, Peter Jennings' office. And I was like, wait a minute, I really want to do this. And so that's sort of how it started. My first job, I was a writer for a TV station on Long Island. And so I did that in my last semester of college. And so that was sort of how it went. It was the 11 o'clock news. So I would go to class all day. And then at night I would go write the news. And work on the newscast.
So now you're on Fox National, but what kind of jobs did you have before Fox National? How did you get the, you know, what was your path?
Sure. So then I left that first job as a writer, and I became a writer at WPIX in New York. And I was there for many years. I think I was there for about 4 years. And I became a producer, fill-in producer. And then I went to CBS from there. I was at CBS for a little while, and then I was at a production company as a production director. So that was not news, and I really missed news. I missed, you know, the heartbeat of the newsroom, and just, you know, I had to work with clients in that other job, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't like this. This is not what I'm used to. And the opportunity opened up at Fox. And it was only doing health news. And, you know, in the past I had done general news. And so I thought, you know what, I've done health stories before. I'm sure it'll be fine. And so, you know, here I am 8 years later just loving it. So health was a good fit for me.
Well, let's tackle the elephant in the room, which is, does one have to be a conservative Republican to work at Fox?
Oh, wow. No, I mean, I think, you know, there are people of all walks of life at Fox News for sure. And it's been a wonderful place for me to work. And, you know, like I said, I think health, for whatever reason, it's almost selfish, I think, because a lot of the news I can use for myself now.
Sure.
You know, it's not like just, you know, news of the day or, you know, this fire or this crash or that kind of thing, which, you know, are important things to get you know, people educated on, but health is much different.
Yeah, I mean, isn't health like weather? Everyone needs to pay attention to it.
Right, exactly. Everyone's always interested, and there's always a good little nugget that you can use at cocktail parties about, you know, the new superfood or, you know, what this does for your heart or, you know, whatever. I have a lot of good stats in my head.
Right, and you won an Emmy Award. Was it for a segment? For what was the Emmy Award for?
So I won the Emmy, I think it was 2005 or 2006, and that's when I was at WPIX, and that was, you know, for a local newscast. It was for Best Newscast, and we had done, it was breaking news, it was this huge flood. I believe that it was in Brooklyn. And yeah, it was just, you know, our newscast was selected, which was really exciting because I had been in the running before, but never won. So I have my Emmy here, which is great.
Is that like the Oscars? You have to smile when the camera's on and you lose kind of thing?
Yeah, right, exactly. You have to be gracious anyway. Yeah, the year, I actually didn't go the year that we won. I didn't go. And so I was like, come on. You know, I went the year before when we lost, but.
you don't have to worry about your acceptance speech then and all that.
Right, right. Never mind all that.
Right. So now, where did the list thing start? What became, were you doing lists for work, for your personal life? Where did this all come from?
Yeah, so I was doing it for work, just, you know, keep on my game, because there's so much stuff coming at you constantly, especially in live news. Just there's so many boiling pots, and you just have to make sure you're on top of everything. And so to get everything done, I was making a lot of lists. And in television, we have a rundown. And so the rundown tells you what's next, like what story is coming up next, how long that story is going to be. You have the whole hour or whatever it is, for the most part, mapped out, and so you know what's coming. So that structure, I really felt like I needed in the rest of my life. I wasn't really using it elsewhere. And the way it all came about was I was looking for an apartment with my husband, and I was just so scattered. I was all over the place. I couldn't remember anything that we saw, and then it was like, oh, did that one have hardwood floors, or what floor was that one on, and was there a good view or not? And, you know, you're in and out so quickly, and you forget what you looked at. So I kind of thought to my TV, days and said, you know what, I'm going to make a checklist. Because that's what I do when I go out in the field. I have a checklist of all the questions that I'm going to ask for an interview. I have a checklist of all of the shots that I need to get to make sure my camera guy gets before I come back to the studio. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this in the same systematic kind of way. And so I had this checklist for the apartment of all the things I needed to pay attention to or questions I needed to ask. And it was just so much easier to have done that prep work beforehand. And one of my friends knew that I made this list, so she was like, oh, can I have that list of yours? And her realtor saw it, and he loved it, and he made copies for his clients. And then I started a blog after that, because she came to me and she was like, you know what, not everybody is thinking in lists in the way that you do, you know, and they're not organizing these things. So,
what tools were you using? You're just writing down a list on the back of an envelope, a sheet of paper, legal sheet, legal pad?
Yeah. Well, what do I do now?
When you were looking for the apartment and decided you need more of that.
Right, exactly. It was just sort of like, trying to remember it and just, you know, making little notes here and there. And it was for a rental, so it's not like when you're purchasing an apartment where they have, like, every stat and you know exactly how big this is or how, you know. It was very, very different. I was just kind of all over the place. And I was like, you know what, I need a system here because it's not working.
So you developed systems?
That was it, and I started the blog, listproducer.com. It'll be 4 years next month, and it's been, you know, really fun to be able to meet other list people and be able to help people who, you know, feel scattered, feel the way that I was feeling, because I knew that I could be successful at it because I had done it, you know, at work. But I just, now I make lists for everything. You know, everywhere I go, everything I do, I'm kind of like, let me just work that out beforehand.
Yeah, I'm on listproducer.com, and it's like lists for every situation, but lists for before surgery, food shopping for healthy pregnancy. So it's not just general lists. You're going to write a list for a particular situation, how to buy before your baby arrives.
That's it. Wow. Like I think being able to be prepared. Because much in the same way as I, you know, would look at a newscast, like we know what's going to happen for the most part unless breaking news happens. We have everything mapped out. And so I know what's next and what's after that and what's after that. And so just being able to anticipate those things and have sort of the preparation figured out, it's so helpful when the time comes to do the thing, whatever the task is, you just do it, you know, and you have that as a reference. It's so helpful.
So you have lists for life is really what you're helping people
with,
not just writing a list for your groceries.
No, right. It's so much more. I mean, there are people who are making lists, of situations. Like, you know, if you're in an argument with your wife or something, let's say, you know, and it's like, oh, every time
never.
I talk to her about this, every time I talk to her about this, I never get to my points because then, you know, the situation gets veered this way and I never, you know, get to say what I want. And so I always tell people, make a list beforehand of all of the things that are important for you to be able to say. You know, here's all my bullet points.
My wife is a philosophy major, Paula. She can win an argument even when she's wrong.
Oh, so. Even with a list, you have a tough time, I think.
Logic. So let's talk about, my wife's a list person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to me, she gets, you know, she gives me the list and she gets a little crazy. The list will have lots of things on it, and I can like go to the ends of earth to find the spice she wants, like all the way across town. Then I forget like dish soap or something.
Right.
And she
right.
really gets upset that I forgot a small item. To me, I'm thinking, well, you know what? I went so far for you, and my whole day was to get you this spice. I had to drive 10 miles across town. How do you kind of.
Was it on the list?
Know,
Was the dish soap
yes,
on the list?
Yes, it was. But I'm saying, I made such an effort to get the unique thing, I forgot the everyday
mm-hmm.
thing, the dish soap.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, people are sometimes can be good about writing things down or, you know, use it, but the actual act of using the list and actually going back to it or referring to it, I mean, it takes practice, you know? And I think, you know, one other thing, too, is just the way that lists are organized. So just writing it down and getting it out of your head is great. But then from there, you know, sometimes you have to rearrange the list a little bit so that it's, you know, more user-friendly. So if there's two different stores that you need to go to, you know, maybe reorganizing that list so it's like, okay, these are the things I can get at that store, and then these are the things at that store. Just so you it's easier for your brain if you do it beforehand.
Right. And what about people who, like, bark off their list off the top of their head, and you're going, I'm not going to remember all this.
That's it. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people are using audio notes now in iPhone, and also there's dictation software, you know, Dictation Dragon, I think, is the app, and you can just basically just, you know, talk right into it, and it'll transcribe it for you. And so then that way, you'll be able to grab it, you know, even if you don't have pen and paper.
Right. Right. Hey, you want to take a call?
Sure.
We have this would be Fadia from Ann Arbor. Hi, Fadia.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Paula. How are
Hi.
You guys?
Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey,
You're
Paul,
welcome.
Before Fadia asked her question, when I was on vacation, she did a guest host show on floating yoga mats. If you get a chance to listen to it, it's a really cool show.
Yeah,
so.
And they're cool products, and a lot of coolness is going to come out of that, actually. I'm working on just a whole new way of doing fitness and a lot of really exciting stuff for me personally. But, you know, the show is the Mindful Revolution, and I Googled the Mindful Revolution out of curiosity to see what would pop up the other day. There's just like all this literature about how, you know, people are noticing a mindful revolution and people are becoming more aware of each other and caring a little more. But then when I look at the news, I'm not seeing it. And I know you're doing the health aspect of it, so you're not really responsible for some of the news that I would consider to be less mindful. But so are we having a mindful revolution is my question, but at the same time, do we have...
In the news industry or in life? What do you mean?
In life, with people personally, and then there's a part of the world that's completely clueless and not mindful at all and just kind of shooting stuff out there to make money on advertisements or, you know what I mean, like without realizing what the end result might look like. What do you think about that, Paula?
Well, I think, you know, mindfulness has come a really long way, even in the time, you know, in the mainstream. In the time that I've been, you know, working in news, to do a segment on meditation or yoga or, you know, whatever, even 5 years ago was still a little bit like, yeah, that's weird. Now it's totally accepted. You know, you're not going to get strange looks in a pitch meeting if you bring up mindfulness. I had done a segment probably last year or maybe even the year before that with a senator. He's not a senator. He's a U.S. representative, Tim Ryan, and he wrote a book about mindfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just bringing that to Capitol Hill, you know, and having a mindful room where people can go and meditate and all of these things. And just, you know, there's been a lot of now, you know, celebrities who are coming out talking about meditation. And so when people start to see that and hear that, it becomes, you know, a lot more, you know, accepted. And then people start to say, you know what, maybe let me try this. And there are so many people, even Dan Harris, who, you know, the ABC anchor who wrote that book about 10% Happier. You know, people are getting it. I think that it's come a really, really long way. And I'm, you know, I'm happy to get that news out there because I just know how important and how great it can be for people if you're able to use it and try it.
I agree with you. And I think there's a lot of excellent information out there, but I think there's a lot of really bad information also. So, you know, how do we balance that out? How can we turn the bad information
into good
information?
Well, let me ask you this, Claudia and Paula, mm-hmm. too. If it's all happy news, is anyone going to watch it? Doesn't bad news sell? This is just how human beings are.
Well, I mean, I think you just need to, you know, understand the way that the news cycle works. You know, things pop up as bad news. You know, there's you're going
right.
to report on it. It's difficult to say. You know, I think for people who are sensitive to it, you know, maybe you don't watch the news every night. You know, I think that's. That's a big thing. Maybe you look to different sources for information. I feel like there's a woman actually who I work with who's a publicist, and she does not really watch the news. Like, she used to be a news junkie. And she's like, you know, it just gets me too upset. It just really upsets
right.
me the whole day. And so she decides not to do that. She'll read the newspaper, you know, here and there, but she doesn't watch the nightly news because it just makes her too anxious. And so sometimes taking a step back and saying, hey, you know what, like, this is not really, yes, I want to know what's going on in the world and all these things, but I need to change my dose. You know, because it's not really working for me, and I'm not going to change
right,
how
right.
you know what's on. So I need to change what I'm looking for.
I agree with you, Paula. That's exactly what I did. I just removed television out of my life, and I still get news because, like, really bad news really still reaches you. Like, it'll reach you through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming at you, or your friends are going to tell you about it. So no, I'm not going to miss the really serious stuff.
Right.
But I believe if. We have a media, a freedom of press that has more of a mindful understanding of what kind of like junk they're putting out there and how it's reaching even people across the globe, you know, that we'll be better off for it. It might not be always beautiful, awesome news, but at the same time, we have to watch how we word things because it's jerking people around because they do take it seriously. They do take it to heart. So, you know, I mean, that would be nice to see. I don't know when that's going to happen, but there just seems to be a lot of crap on television. I mean, that's where I'm at with that. And there's a lot of good stuff, too, and I'm glad that you're doing stuff on meditation because I really think that kind of mindfulness is going to help increase peace. What do you think about that? Do you think that it will increase the level of peace when we have people on Capitol Hill meditating and relaxing and like, really searching themselves?
Of course, and I think that, you know, one of the things with making lists is that in that second you're mindful of what you need to do, you know, and you're able to kind of put everything down on paper and take a second to not just react but sit down and say, okay, let me plan some things out. Let me get this out of my head and down on paper. And even with distractions, you know, I see that people are distracted all the time. You know, people come into your office or your phone rings or whatever happens. But being able to pause and not react to that immediately and write it down instead and say, hey, you know what, I have to get to that. Let me put it on my list instead of just going and doing it. Same thing with email. You know, an email pops up and you want to respond to it right away. But in the same way as meditation will help you do that, I feel like lists also help you kind of pause and take that second to be mindful.
Good point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So if
Thank
I send my
so
husband across town for my exotic spice, maybe I don't care. I'll get the dish soap myself.
Right.
That's exactly right, Jeff. Thank you so much, Paula. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
What you're adding to the show. And I agree with you. List, make you more mindful. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful interview. Thank you,
Thanks,
Jeff.
Thanks,
Namaste.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk to you later. So, Paula, you recently wrote a book on lists.
Yep, listful thinking, using lists to be more productive, highly successful, and less stressed.
Was that your first book?
Yep, that's my very, very first book, yeah.
Tell us about the experience, and maybe also maybe if you can talk about the symbiotic relationship with the editor. We had a first-time author on a couple weeks ago, Greg Anton, musician. He said the editor was, the relationship was unbelievable, and she made him take out a part that he's been writing for 30 years, his favorite part. He said she was right. So what was that like working with somebody?
Wow. Well, you know, I'm used to working in a collaborative environment because, you know, newsroom, there's people yelling all the time, stuff going on, and, you know. And so to write this book was difficult for me at first because it was just me in my apartment by myself. So that was different for sure. But my editor and publisher, she's a huge list maker. So she was loving this. And she actually had followed my blog for years. And so that is sort of how we came to meet each other. And, you know, it is interesting working, you know, with other people on projects, but I'm just so used to doing that for my own, you know, usual work so that I kind of feed off that. I love to hear feedback. One of the things that was a little bit difficult is I'm used to writing very, very short copy and things that are, you know, it's meant to be spoken in 1 minute. And so for a lot of these things, I was like, well, I'm done talking about that. I said everything I needed to say, you know. So being able to sort of like stretch a little bit and think, okay, what else could I write, you know, that was challenging for me. Being able to get to, you know, a word count that I've never, you know, I'm used to working in, you know, can it be 30 seconds? And this was like, you know, can you add 400 more words? It's like, I don't even know what that is. So that was a little bit of a challenge for me, kind of a switch in how I write.
Interesting. And did they pair you up with an editor that they thought was very organized and kind of list-oriented, or did you guys just happen to be paired up together?
Well, is very organized. Yeah, she was the one who followed the blog, and she was, into it. Yeah, so she really got it from the very, very beginning. Even before there was a book, you know, she was interested in the blog.
Oh, I got it. So it was a natural fit then.
Yep.
Got it. So would you write another book?
Yeah, I would love to. I always have wanted to write a book. I never knew that I would write a book about lists. That was never, you know, that wasn't on the bucket list. You know, write book.
No pun intended,
right? Exactly. But yeah, no, I definitely have that on my list.
How can writing lists make one more healthy, Paula?
So there's so many ways. Like in college, I had a roommate who used to write down like these lists of foods that she liked and snacks that she could eat. And I thought she was crazy because I was like, how do you not know what you like, you know? And she's like, well, you know, when I get really hungry, I need to know right away what, you know, my options are and all this. And I was like, what is she doing? But actually, now, you know, years later, I'm like, actually, you know what? Having that go-to list of, like, snacks that you could take on the go that you like or that kind of thing, just having that list that you've prepared in advance really makes it easy when the time comes to go shopping or, you know, to just look in the pantry and say, okay, instead of eating chips, I'm going to eat this healthy snack. So that's helpful. I think, you know, being informed about your health and having questions when you go to see the doctor, because you don't get very much time when you're in there with the doctor.
You don't. You're right, yeah.
You don't. And, you know, and doctors have a lot of patients to see, and they're, you know, running in here, running out there. And so you want to make sure that you optimize the time. And so one of the ways you can do that is to make a list of all of the things that you want to address or questions that you have. And so that when you go in, you're like, hey, you know, I have a few things to go through. And I'm sure, you know, they'll be more than happy to go through that list with you. But just doing that prep ahead of time is really, you know, it's so helpful. So those
now,
are,
yesterday
you know,
you tweeted about making a list in the shower.
Yes.
You can make better lists in the shower. Why don't you explain that to us?
So okay,
is that like singing in the shower, Paula?
Well, you know, don't you get some great ideas in the shower? Does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, the reason that happens is because negative ions come off of the falling water. So the same thing will happen if you're at a waterfall. Anywhere there's falling water, these negative ions are coming off. And what it does is it actually boosts your brain to think more clearly and be more productive. Yeah, it's like real actual science behind it. And so, you know, there's these waterproof notepads that you can get and stick inside the shower with a little sticky note with a little suction cup. And they're waterproof, so you can write down your brilliant ideas so you don't lose them.
I love it. I love it. That's just fascinating. How come often on vacation I get really good ideas, especially for work, more creative ideas than normal, but then I don't write them down because we're out in the middle of hiking somewhere or whatever, and then I don't end up doing them. And I think, why did I do that? I think it's a really good idea, but...
You never got to. Yeah, I think you know, anytime you're out of your element, you're out of your regular routine, it just opens your mind to be much more creative.
Right.
You know, because you're seeing different things. You're not in your everyday rut. Like, we're so used to just going through the motions of your day and, like, oh, this is the way I go to work and this is the way I do this. And, you know, so the second you kind of take yourself out of that, all of these interesting things happen in your brain and you have all these great ideas. But in that way, there's got to be a capture system, you know. And so... whether that's like a tiny little notepad that you keep with you at all times, or you have your phone.
Hold on,
and it's audio
I like that.
Notes.
Let's repeat that. Capture system. You need to capture your ideas and your thoughts.
Yeah.
List, right?
Right.
I love it.
And
okay,
that,
go on.
I mean, and that has to be like with you at all times. You know, this has to be part of your life. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to brainstorm today. Let me have that list. You know, this is part of everything that you're doing, right? So, like, you're hiking and you have this brilliant idea and you have nowhere to write it down because you haven't set yourself up with a system. So I think, you know, maybe in a situation like that, you even call your voicemail and leave yourself a message, you know, because you don't have time to write it down. Or, you know, you use audio notes, something that's going to be able to capture when you're on the move. But, you know, if it's pen and paper, if it's an app, whatever it is, to be able to grab it, it's just, cause like you said, you're going to lose it. It's going to go.
Right. What about in your free time? Are you making lists when you're on vacation and just enjoying life? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think a lot of that, like even on trips and things, I make a lot of lists of, or I make the list beforehand of, like, here's all the places I want to go to, or here's some restaurants I heard were really great, that kind of stuff. So then when I get there, I don't have to worry about, like, oh, let me find out if this is good or not, or, you know, doing that prep work. But there's always something I feel like to write a list about. You know, somebody tells you about a great recommendation for a restaurant, or, oh, you got to see this movie. You know, there's always something that you can have on a list. And for me, having lists in specific places, so I know where to access them, that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So in the way that you should leave your keys in the same place all the time so that you don't lose them, you know, when you come through the door, I feel the same way for lists. So I have a specific app on my phone just for restaurant recommendations. And then the same with books. That's where all my book recommendations go and all, you know, all the books I want to read and what people tell me and all that. And so that's, I know where to find it. You know, I know where I'm going to access it.
Are these applications, are they your applications or ones you found? Where are these applications?
Okay, so the one for restaurants is called Matchbook. And that you can use in any city, and I've used it all over the world. And it's great. And then Goodreads is the one that I use for books. And so that's really easy because you can just search for a book and it pops up and then you can add it, you know, as soon as somebody tells you about it. I also really love Evernote, which is a great, great app, kind of like a second brain. So anything that you want to remember, you just stick it in there and then you know you'll have it.
Explain that to me. I'm not quite sure how that app works.
So it's sort of like a filing cabinet for everything that you could possibly think of. So if you, I don't really keep lists in there, but you can keep lists in there. Sometimes I'll keep, you know, if I'm going to go on vacation, I have, you know, a whole bunch of ideas for places I want to go to or restaurants I want to, you know, check out and all these things. I'll keep all the links in there. When I do my taxes, I put all my tax information in there, all of the, you know, files and folders and all of that stuff goes in there. I'm trying to think, like, you can use it on the desktop, and you have a little web clipper tool. So if you see an article that you really love or a recipe that you want to try, you just use that clipper tool to bookmark the website and then put it into specific folders in Evernote. You can email yourself like itineraries
wow.
You know, let's say there's a bill that you want to keep track of or something like that. You can just put it right into Evernote. You can use it collaboratively with other people, so you can share notebooks with other people and they can see it and they can add stuff to it. That's good for, you know, joint trip planning or events and things. It's really a
so
lot.
Evernote's a good application.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would use it on the desktop first before you start using the actual app, because the app is good to just access the information. You know, I feel like when you front load it with all this stuff on the actual website, then go to the app to get to it. That's more useful.
Let me ask you this: people say we're busier these days, and I say we're more distracted than busy. We kind of create our own busy because of all the electronic stuff. And what do you think? Either or, and we need lists because we're more distracted, because we're busier?
I think we're addicted to saying that we're busy. Addicted to stress, you know.
Yeah.
And stress is not a bad thing. You know, stress is actually a good thing. It's the thing that gets you motivated
right.
to finish the thing, you know. But we're so addicted to saying, oh, I'm so busy. You know, people ask you, how are you doing? Oh, so busy. Are you really that busy? Because busy, if you're busy, then that means I have a lot on my plate. I'm important. I have a lot going on. There's, you know,
bingo.
I'm juggling
That's
some
the
things.
Ego, right?
Right, exactly. So I think if we take a step back from that and just be able to say, okay, what's really eating up my time? Why am I so busy? I'm so busy because I was on Facebook for 45 minutes and I didn't get to do the thing
right.
I was supposed to do at work, and then I was rushing at the last second.
I talk about what color underwear I'm going to wear tomorrow on Facebook, right?
Right, exactly. So I tell people, you know, to do like a little audit and track the way that you spend your time. And you can do that in so many ways. You can handwrite it or do it in a Excel sheet. You know, there are apps that will track your time for you, where you can just enter in.
Right.
Where you actually, and you have to be realistic and say like, okay, I actually did spend 45 minutes on Facebook, you know, or I actually did do this or I did do that. And then you can look at it and really say, all right, let's see what's happening here with my time.
Right. I think everyone, including myself, waste time on the computer, at work, at home, just screws around. And that's fine, but it's, you know, that takes up more time than we think. It sucks you in. And we go back to the mindfulness of it all. And to me, I have to sometimes turn off or just walk away. You know,
well, that's it.
I'm the people business, not the computer business.
Right. Sometimes I'll have to, you know, remind myself and just say, like, hey, you were in the middle of doing something else. Like, stop. Stop distracting yourself with this other thing. You were working on this. You know, get back into that.
Right. It's a new television. When I was a kid, it was the TV that sucked you in. Now it's the computer that sucks us in.
Right.
So what do you think as far as what are the biggest list-making mistakes that people make, Paula, and how can we fix them?
Sure. So one big one is that we mix our lists. So that means everything that you could think of goes on one list. So, you know, get milk and write a book is on the same list. And so these two things are not the same. So you need to make categories.
No.
So I have two separate – I have lists for everything. But for work and home specifically, I make sure that they are separated, because – then that way you don't have to spend time kind of deciphering them and saying, okay, well, grandma needs a gift, but I also need to finish this proposal. So let me see which, you know, I know what I'm going to get when I look at each list. So then I can more easily prioritize and figure out, you know, what I need to do where and kind of, you know. So I keep my home list separate from my work list. And my work list I make the night before I leave every night. I go through and think of the next day, every appointment that I have to, you know, go to, every email that I need to write back to. Because things happen, you know, especially towards the end of the day, where it's like, oh, I got to just write back to that person. But it's like, nope, I'm done for today. I need to leave. So let me just leave myself a note on my to-do list that I need to write back to that person. Because as soon as you come in the next morning.
One of my mentors told me that you should plan your week on Sunday evening.
Right. Uh-huh. Sure. I like to do it daily. That's how I do it. And for me, it works great.
Interesting. And are any lists more important? Is a bucket list or a gratitude list more important than a laundry list, a grocery list? You know?
I think it depends on how best it serves you, you know. If you're finding that there's, you know, I'm always forgetting everything when I go to the grocery store, a list there will help you, you know. I think gratitude lists are amazing and that everyone should at least try them. There are apps for that, or you can even just, you know, scribble it on a piece of paper before you go to bed. Just the act of doing it, and a life list, you know, a bucket list. You know yourself better than anybody else, so just being able to kind of go through all your hopes and dreams and all that, and, you know, money is no object. Just put it down and see what happens. You know,
right.
I'm a big believer in that.
So really, just, you have to make it real. It's got to get out of the mind is what I'm hearing, right?
That's it, yeah. Because the second that you write something down, it just becomes a lot more attainable. You know, it's like you put it out there
right.
in the world. There was a study that was done that when you write something down, you're 33% more likely to actually do it. So
right.
taking it to that next level, to that next step by writing it down, you become accountable, you know, and it just really becomes real.
What about, like, getting rid of stuff? Does it help people that are, you know, accumulate too much stuff? Can a list, you, like, discern what you should get rid of, what you should give to charity, what you should throw out? Does that make it easier? Does that get rid of the attachment to the stuff?
Yeah, I think, you know, the other thing you can do, too, is if you're, let's say, cleaning out your closet and you're getting rid of stuff that you're like, oh, but now I have no black pants or I have no black shoes. Just being able to systematically write it down and say, okay, these are the things I need to replace now because this other stuff
right.
is not serving me well anymore, but here's my replacement list, you know, and just going through that and having that as you go really makes it easier to then get rid of.
As my yoga teacher said, Paula, that no one has when you're going to be buried in your hearse, no one has a U-Haul full of stuff behind the hearse.
No, it's true. It's very true.
So in the end, it's just stuff. But it can really, I mean, how does stuff, like, drain us? Or is it our ball and chain in life? It's just amazing the stuff we accumulate that we don't want to let go of it. Why is that?
Well, there was a UCLA study that was done a while back that found that when women were around clutter, their stress hormones skyrocketed. And so, I mean, it makes total sense. When you have a messy
house,
guys,
do you hear that, guys? You don't want to have a messy house. You don't want
no,
those
that's
hormones
it.
Going up like
You'll
that.
You'll be all stressed out, you know? I mean, it's for, the survey was for women, but I think, you know, it works really for anybody. But it's so true. You know, as soon as you, like, clear the space and have nice, you know, minimal stuff around you, it just makes you feel lighter, makes you feel better. You know, you can, I feel like once you clean your desk off, you're like, all right, now I can get to work kind of thing.
Right. There's also some other apps, TaskRabbit. I don't think we talked about that. Fancy Hands, Paper Karma, Customer. What are those apps like?
Sure. So there's some apps to help you outsource. And I'm a big fan of getting somebody else to do your to-do list
sure.
for you. And so TaskRabbit and Fancy Hands will both help you do that. TaskRabbit is for actual physical tasks. So you can get somebody to, you know, come over and clean out your closet or cook you dinner or go to your friend's apartment and deliver them, you know, a cupcake
wow.
for their birthday. Or I've used them before to go to Home Depot for me
really?
And pick up
wow.
yeah, pick up stuff. And I was doing a renovation in my apartment, and, you know, I was at work, and the contractor called me, and he was like, hey, you got the wrong mirror for your you know, vanity, and the guy's here today to put it in, so I need a new one. And I was
oh my
like,
God.
But I'm at work. What do I do, you know? So
right.
I hired
oh, wow.
a TaskRabbit to go and pick it up at Home Depot. I ordered it online, and you can pick it up in the store. So he went to Home Depot, he picked it up, and he brought it to my apartment, and he gave it to the contractor and was, you know, in contact with me the entire time. So I knew when they had
but
it.
How did he know
that.
Which one in particular that you needed, though?
It was all set up. It was all, like, online. I had done the order online. So he just had
oh,
to go pick it up with my name. And, I mean, I don't think – I think I paid him $15 or something. Like, it was you know – and the $15 that I paid, like, the stress that I reduced
oh,
for myself,
yeah.
you know, I would have paid
exactly.
$50
right.
or
and
more.
Right. The time you free up for yourself and you don't have to worry about it at work,
Right. And I was like, how am I going to do this? And, you know, I'm in New York City, so I'm like, all right, so I'm going to get a cab to wait for me, and I can run in, and then how can I carry this, you know? So it was just...
What's that going to cost? What's the cost of that?
Right, right.
More than the $15, I guarantee. It's like someone who drives around 20 miles to save a nickel a gallon on gas.
That's it. Exactly. So that one's great for those kind of tasks. And then Fancy Hands is also an assistant, but it's virtual. So they'll find you, you know, somebody who, you know, will come to your apartment and paint it, you know, and here's all the stuff for that. Or, you know, they'll find you a guitar.
Kind of like Angie's List of sorts.
Yeah, I mean they'll do the research for you. You know, they'll book a car service for you if you need it, or you know, figure out what the best route, you know, from the airport is. Yeah, you know, whatever it is that you need them to do, they'll do. It's usually things that are like 20 minutes or so of research. And so I've used them before for trips. You know, if I want to just know, you know, what are the best restaurants in this city, according to TripAdvisor, Yelp, and this other website, you know, and they'll go and they'll kind of get that information.
It's like a clearinghouse for information.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. And then there's other one we had, Paper Karma.
Sure. So Paper Karma is cool because you can use that to unsubscribe from some of the junk mail that you get, the physical paper junk mail.
Oh, wow.
Right. So when you come in with your mail, you just use Paper Karma to scan that piece of mail, and it will unsubscribe you. So somebody somewhere on Paper Karma land will figure out, you know, all the stuff and unsubscribe you, and you won't get it anymore. And it's amazing. It's such a time saver because and you know, save the planet too, because it's you don't have to have all that stuff. And then what was the other one? Oh, Fast Company. So Fast Company is cool because Fast Customer. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a list here, so that's why I know it.
Yes. So yeah, Fast Customer is where basically they will wait on hold for you. So if you need a call, like let's say Delta or American, you know, Express or whatever, yeah, you can go through and they have already pre-programmed a whole, you know, so thousands of companies, and so you just click which company you need to get in touch with, you know, Verizon, whatever it is, and they will call you when it's your turn in line. So you don't even have to wait on hold. They'll do it for you.
Cool.
And
what about,
last
but not least, Carrot?
So Carrot is fun. It's a to-do list app where you can, you know, plug in everything that you need to do, but it's a little bit more interactive because it's kind of like a bully. It'll call you out when you don't do things that you said you were going to do on your list. So it'll just, you know, remind you and say, hey, you know, you didn't do this. What are you doing? What else do you have to do that you're not doing all the things?
We call that an electronic wife, Paula.
Right. and then actually what it'll do is it will also reward you when you do some of the things on your list. So it will give you, you know,
kind of like
the extra.
My Fitbit, kind of like my Fitbit thing, right? You get a reward.
Exactly.
You walk so much, right?
So as you know, check things off, then you get more features in the app, and you know, it gives you little gifts and things like that. So it's fun.
Right. Now I read though you're still old school. You still use pen and paper?
I do, yeah. So I, you know, for home I use pen and paper a lot. You know, grocery lists and things like that, and then at work I use pen and paper. And it's in my desk. But, you know, I do a little bit of both. And so I think that's the big misconception for people is that they think, oh, I have to, you know, if I'm going to go digital, I have to go all digital. But that's not true. You can really just see what best serves you and use, like I do. You know, sometimes I'll just use an app just for a restaurant. That's it. That's all that app is for. You know,
right.
And so I think just figuring out what will work for you and make your life easier, it doesn't matter if it's on paper or if it's digital.
Interesting. And you're not a fan of using Outlook, though, I've heard, for reminders.
Outlook?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I sometimes what I'll do is, you know, if I leave my office and I forget something, right, I didn't write something down on the list for tomorrow and it popped up in my head, I will either email myself at work or I'll set a meeting maker, a reminder, you know, to pop up at a time when I know I'll be sitting at my desk, you know, the next day. And then I'll put that to-do there. So when it pops up, I look at it and I say, oh, yeah, that's right, I need to do that, and I'll add it to my list then. So I have like another little way to just, you know, get it on my list if it's not physically with me.
Now, it's been proven, though, that list can help make people successful, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of very, very successful list makers out there, celebrities. You know, Richard Branson is a huge list maker. Madonna, John Lennon was a big list maker. Johnny Cash, Ben Franklin, tons and tons of, you know, very successful people make lists. And also surgeons and airline pilots, they're using checklists for everything,
oh,
really.
That's
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so these are, you know, very highly skilled people who have gone to school for this, who have trained for all of these things, but stuff pops up, things happen, you know, and having a checklist to be able to refer back to is just so helpful so you can eliminate any kind of errors.
Right. Right, of course. I mean, I've read that Ben Franklin was a big user of Lyft, obviously. I mean, the guy's a
mm-hmm.
genius, so.
Yep.
So these people, even though they're geniuses, are organized geniuses. That's probably how they...
Well, that's
express
the thing.
Genius.
Well, that's it, right? So sometimes people are very, you know, especially creative people are like, oh, no, I'm going to lose my edge. I'm not organized. That's not, I'm just, you know, fly by the seat of my pants. That's, you know, that's how I'm creative. But the truth is when you get this stuff out of your head and you free up that brain power to be creative, you're so much more creative. You're able to get so much more done because now you have a roadmap. Now you have all those other things out of your head and down on paper. You don't have to worry about that stuff. It'll get done because it's on your list. Now you can, you know, get to all of the brainstorming or the music making or whatever it is that you're doing because you have all these systems set up.
Right. There's something called Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. Hopefully I pronounced his name right.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah, Dr. Gawande.
Oh,
so
about
he,
that. Fascinating.
Yeah, he's a surgeon, and he wrote Checklist Manifesto, which basically talks about airline pilots, you know, using these lists, these checklists from, you know, beginning to end of a flight to get people there safely. Same with construction workers. And so he worked with the World Health Organization to be able to get checklists into ORs so that surgeons could use them to just, you know, minimize any kind of error, because human error happens. So things on those
sure.
checklists are things like, you know, is this the correct patient? Which side of the body are we doing the operation on? Have they been given anesthesia? You know, are they allergic to anything? Stuff like that, where it's like, of
right.
course, you know, of course the doctor should know all of these things. And yeah, okay, yeah, they should, but they've also seen like four other patients today and there's all these other surgeries going on and there's so much
yeah.
stuff happening. So you just want to be able to take that pause to say, okay, let's just run through this just to make sure. And, you know, they found a great reduction in errors after those checklists were, you know, instituted into the ERs and the, or into the ORs. And, of course, at first people were like, oh, what do we need this for? You know, this is ridiculous.
Right,
we know what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah. But
Paul, I read the results, and there's a study at 8 hospitals, and productivity, there was a 36% drop in major post-surgical complications.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
A third.
Yeah, from a piece
right.
of paper.
Amazing. Joe Duran of United Capital has instituted or implemented checklists in his business. Tell us about
right.
his list and
so he's also
productivity.
He's also an author, too. He wrote a book called The Money Code. But he read Checklist Manifesto on a flight and thought, this is brilliant. Why am I not doing
okay.
this more often? And he requires all of his employees to read Checklist Manifesto. And he will not have a meeting with you unless you come with a checklist. He literally will turn people away. And so in the same way, people were very adverse to it, you know, to,
sure.
to doing it. But then he was like, you know what, this is what's going to make us efficient. And he found, you know, like a 50% drop in meeting times. And people were able to feel more empowered because they were setting up what they wanted to talk about in meetings. You know, they had a piece in that. And so, you know, that really helped to boost morale. And he said, you know, it just really, really helped in everything that he does.
So that book, Checklist Manifesto, is really not just about medical. It's about life and business, right?
Yeah, yep, for sure. It's just,
wow.
you know, a way to get things done, you know, just to be able to kind of streamline so you can use
right.
your brain and your mind for other things, for more important stuff.
Right. So get rid of the clutter is kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. Also, there's the old pro and con list for decision making.
Yeah.
I think in sales we used to call it the Ben Franklin close. You'd write out the benefits and the drawbacks, and if the benefits outweigh the drawbacks, maybe they should buy. Is it something
right.
similar to that?
Yeah, so it's a pro and cons list of, you know, taking a new job or, you know, going on vacation somewhere or something like that. And so, you know, you just kind of do a mind dump of all of the things that you think are a pro and all the things that you think are a con. And so that could be, you know, oh, the office was painted green and green is my favorite color. So that's a pro, right? So you write it down. And then when you look at the list later on, you're able to, like, weigh the things better and say, you know what, it doesn't even matter that it's green. Who cares? Like, I can't believe that mattered to me.
Right,
but,
right.
But just being able to kind of do the exercise of getting it all down on paper is helpful because you're writing it out, you're really thinking about it, you know. And so the other thing, too, is that just because, let's say, there's more cons than pros, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a no. You know, you have to think about every single piece. You know, is the fact that the commute is shorter, you know, that's a pro. I mean, maybe that outweighs one of the cons that you have. You know, maybe
right.
that's more important to you. So, you know, being able to also talk to people about your list and say, hey, you know, I'm weighing this decision. You know, what do you think? And getting somebody's opinion and then, you know, maybe moving things around or not. You know, maybe the things that they care
right.
about are not things that you care about. But I always
sure.
tell people you have to sleep on it if you can, you know, because then the next day you'll just look at it with fresh eyes and maybe you'll think of other things.
Sure. So what would be the part of the first list? A non-list maker such as myself, you know, I use them. I'm not, you know, I don't like, you know, list, blah, blah, blah. What would be a good list to start with for a non-list maker?
I would make a bucket list, a life list, because you know yourself better than anybody. So just all the things that you want to do, everything, you know, that you've aspired, any place you want to go, you know, if you want to write a book, whatever it is, just write it all down. Mm-hmm. And that's a good first list to start with.
Got it. Well, we've got about a minute left, a couple minutes left. What's new and exciting in your world? Is anything coming up? Are you lecturing anywhere?
You know, I'm doing a book signing at a bookstore called Namaste Bookstore here in New York City. And so that's coming up at the end of April, and I'm very excited
wow.
about that. That'll be good.
What is Namaste Bookstore? I never heard of it. It's cool.
It's a very cool bookstore. It's, you know, got a lot of, you know, yoga, meditation, mindfulness.
I see.
You know, that kind of genre. And I think it'll be fun. I've done book signings at other, you know, traditional bookstores. So, nothing that has sort of a theme like this. So I think it'll be fun. It'll be a little bit different. So if anybody's in New York, you know, check out my website, listproducer.com, and I will post information about it on there.
Speaking of yoga, I see you have a few yogis that follow your site. Jill Miller was on our show a couple weeks ago
yes.
at Kara Styles. Do you do yoga, Paula?
I do yoga, and I've interviewed both of those women for work, and so we've become friendly. And, you know, I do yoga. I love it. I mean, I do it now like 10 minutes a day because that's what I can fit in, and I feel like,
right.
all right, I did it. I'm productive. I got it done.
Great, yeah.
Me feel better. But, yeah, I'm a yoga lover.
I just a couple months ago started doing chair yoga, and I'm a power yoga guy.
Uh-huh.
And I felt just as good without sweating and without
wow.
being sore. So,
yeah. A new thing. Very
so
good.
We have to keep our minds open. Well, this has been really fun, Paula. I want to thank you so much for this. Check Paula out. What's the website, Paula?
Listproducer.com.
Watch Paula on Fox News or health segments. Maybe you could do a segment on that yoga water mat. That would be cool, huh?
That's interesting. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just go to our site and look at the Friday show, and you're there. Paula, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'll get on my list and read the book right now.
I'm going to follow up and see if you've become a list maker.
Uh-oh. Electronic there. Thanks so much, Paula.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
This has been The Mindful Revolution with Jeff Bogart. Sponsored by Silo Wealth Advisory. If you want your money to make a difference without compromising returns, call Jeff at 855-757-7452 or visit silowealthadvisory.com.